Today is the 17th day of June. Welcome back. Welcome around the global campfire. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Grateful to be here with you today. I'm Brian, and grateful to be here with you is the truth of my heart. Like, I'm grateful for this place every day. And I'm grateful that you're grateful, and I'm grateful that when we come into this place, it's safe. And I am grateful for the way that the scriptures speak the truth and do not flinch and do not look away and force us, if we're willing, to look at ourselves, to be pulled forward, to be pulled into healthy and more balanced life, if we will just obey, just listen to the voice of wisdom and look into these stories and find ourselves in them and see that kind of all the emotions and all of the scenarios of humanity and where those roads end up leading can be found in these stories in the scriptures. So right now, in the Old Testament, we are, have begun to be introduced to this figure, a very, very important prophetic voice. The voice of Elijah, and as powerful of a prophet as Elijah is, and as mighty and miraculous as God worked through Elijah, Elijah is a very deeply human person and has a lot to teach us. So let us jump in. 1 Kings chapter 18 today. Later on, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once, when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in two caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "We must check every spring and valley in the land to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules." So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master, Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time he was told Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim. And now you say go and tell your master Elijah is here? But as soon as I leave you, the spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here? Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me." But Elijah said, "I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day." So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, "So, is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel?" "I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 400 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it, and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You'll have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming, or is relieving himself. Or maybe he is away on a trip, or is asleep and needs to be wakened." So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still, there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." And when they were finished, he said, "Now do it a 3rd time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." Then Elijah commanded, "Seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape." So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, 'Climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you.'" And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Acts 11. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Then Peter told him exactly what had happened. "I was in the town of Joppa," he said, "and while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles and birds, and I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat them.' 'No, Lord,' I replied. 'I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean.' But the voice from heaven spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.' This happened 3 times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up to heaven. Just then 3 men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that they were Gentiles. These 6 brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved.' As I began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution, after Stephen's death, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you who serve the Lord, you who serve in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate His lovely name with music. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel for His own special treasure. I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases Him throughout all heaven and earth, and on the seas and in their depths. He causes the clouds to rise over the whole earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from His storehouses. He destroyed the firstborn in each Egyptian home, both people and animals. He performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his people. He struck down great nations and slaughtered mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. He gave their land as an inheritance, a special possession to His people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, is known to every generation. For the Lord will give justice to His people and have compassion on His servants. The idols of the nations are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and mouths but cannot breathe. And those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them. O Israel, praise the Lord. O priests, descendants of Aaron, praise the Lord. O Levites, praise the Lord. All you who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord be praised from Zion, for He lives here in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 17, 12, and 13. It is safer to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to confront a fool caught in foolishness. If you repay good with evil, evil will never leave your house. Okay, so yesterday in 1 Kings, we met the prophet Elijah, and like why he is a prominent prophet of Israel becomes apparent today in the showdown between the prophets of Baal and the God of Israel atop Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel is a place that actually exists, and there's definitely a monastery there commemorating this showdown on the top of Mount Carmel. And that is in the app today, one of the films in the app today to see Mount Carmel, which would have been in the northern kingdom of Israel. So we know that there was a severe drought, that it lasted about 3 years, and Then there's this showdown, and the idol worship of Baal is destroyed, and then the rains return. And we'll learn a lot more from Elijah, and then we'll meet his successor, his name is Elisha, in the coming days. And then in the book of Acts, Peter, like we've seen this monumental shift. We talked about this yesterday, like we may not comprehend how monumental of a shift it was for the Holy Spirit to come upon the Gentiles. So Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and now he has to wrestle with what happened in Cornelius's house. Salvation and the Holy Spirit coming to the Gentiles. And when he gets there, he's ridiculed. You went in the house of Gentiles? You ate with Gentiles? They're accusing Peter. And what's Peter supposed to say? Like, he did break tradition. This vision that he had received in Joppa challenged everything he thought he knew. And so when he told this good news about Jesus to a Gentile family and they received the Holy Spirit and were baptized, I mean, this is such a huge shift. Now, the Gentiles aren't the enemy anymore. And that fuels so much and changes so much. Now they're brothers and sisters. Now they're not the enemy to be avoided. Peter says, like, when I started to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed, who was I to stand in God's way? And so, as Peter is telling this story, what could those people who were accusing him, what could they say? So this is a radical, unexpected shift for all of them that they have to wrestle through, and it's like a controversy that never fully dies down. They had all grown up in this exclusive culture with this exclusive understanding of God and this exclusive understanding of themselves. Despite that, God was obviously doing something new, expansive, a shift, a change, like making things that were old new, making things that were unclean clean. This is far-reaching. And they had to agree. We can see that God is also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. And then they rejoiced. And as this is taking place, we see that the believers who had fled persecution that began with Stephen's martyrdom, where Saul, who has become the Apostle Paul, presided, they began to share Jesus everywhere, Gentile and Jew alike. And so the gospel, like, this is how it spread. This is how it happened. And so in Antioch, there's a revival that's beginning to take place. And the Apostle Paul moves to Antioch for a year. And he's with Barnabas. And we find in the scriptures that it's Antioch that believers in Jesus were first called Christians, which is a Gentile term. So it can be difficult to wrap our minds around how big of a deal this is until we start, like, really looking at our own biases, because we are no different in a lot of ways than the early believers in Jerusalem, and can consider our understanding of God's will and ways to be the beginning and ending of what God will and will not do. We have him, and we have the box that he lives in, and he doesn't deviate. Except for he does not care about your box at all. He doesn't care about those kinds of constraints in the Bible. He has no problem whatsoever blowing away and blowing up what we think we know. At all. And we should know that. It does not matter to him to disrupt, to reveal the truth. It does not matter. He will do it. He does it in the scriptures. He does it now. And so when we feel that kind of spiritual disruption, a lot of times we just run for cover in fear. Like, we don't want to get misled. We don't want to be deceived. Like, so we stick into this box that has a ceiling. And that's all that there will ever be. And it's not enough. Like, it is not enough to live this life of faith in that box. And so when we get disrupted, our posture should, we should understand that there may be an invitation here to go farther, to go deeper in our relationship with Him. Like, if we are in love with God, and we know God, and God knows us, what are we worried about? Is He going to deceive us? No. He's going to bring us and lead us into all truth. So rather than placing our ceilings, maybe we, like the early believers, humbly rejoice when God does something new that we don't even understand, even if it forces us to wrestle with what we think we know. And maybe that leads us back to Elijah standing in front of the children of Israel in their own traditions, in their covenant-breaking idolatry. Maybe we hear the voice of Elijah today. How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, or if whatever you are worshiping and giving yourself to, abandoning your covenant with God, abandoning your covenant with anybody, if that is God, then follow it. In this case, the scriptures say the people were completely silent. Maybe that's the move. Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to lead us forward and into all truth, regardless of the disruption that it will take to get us there. Because it will take farther less disruption and shaking in our lives if we learn to trust you. Otherwise, all that can shake ultimately will shake in the pursuit of our freedom and the truth. So lead us into the truth. We trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are absolutely home base and home of the Global Campfire and home of everything that's going on around here. And so be sure to have, you know, to have the app. You can grab that at the app store that works with your device. There's so much packed into the app, so many resources and features packed into the app to make the journey that we are on much more interactive and go much deeper, and makes a difference to be able to connect to the prayer wall at any point in time. It makes a difference to be able to zoom in on the locations and the places that we are visiting as we move through the scriptures. It makes a difference to come to a new book and be able to kind of visually watch a short film that gives a dramatized overview of the territory that we are sailing into, even as we talk about it. Each time we get to a new book, it makes a difference to be able to keep track of where we are and see the percentage of the Bible that we have made our way through and check off the days that we have listened to. And it makes a difference to, well, to just get those badges as we move through each genre, each kind of grouping of books in the Bible, and see that we are making progress. Makes a difference to be able to read along. Makes a difference to be able to jot down notes in the moment and have them kind of attached to the day that you're listening to so that you can go back. Journaling in one form or another is a way of kind of collecting our memories and collecting our story and our journey. And journeying through the scriptures, journeying through what God has to say through His word, Man, if God is speaking, we should be taking notes. All these things and so much more are baked into the app. And so be sure to get connected and stay connected. Either the web app at dailyaudiobible.com or the app store that works with your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone in the world, anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around this rhythm, what we call the global campfire, the act of just showing up for ourselves and our own hearts, showing up for each other each and every day. If that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible friends. This is Laura in San Diego. Brian, thank you for your words to us every day, but especially today, June 14th. I was listening and just grabbed onto a couple things, and I wanted to thank you and to share it back. And that is, wisdom is at every crossroads. I never quite thought about it that way, and I appreciate that mental picture that every time I'm at a crossroad, I can listen for wisdom. The other is that we repair or destroy with our words. And so I just wanted to thank you. And I will be thinking about looking for wisdom at the crossroads and thinking about using words to repair. Thank you so much.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. Monita in Illinois, I'm praying that the Lord would lead somebody into your life to be a companion, a fellow believer, who would stand by you, who would love you, and provide you with the perfect company and mate that you need to finish out this life here on earth, in the name of Jesus. And Daniel Johnson Jr., oh, my friend down in Cincinnati, a tough diagnosis, prurigo nodularis. I'm praying that the Lord would find the finances for you, would find you a job so that you can afford the care you need. I pray that his spirit would fall upon you and quiet the itching during your sleep. And he would lead you to specialists, and that there would be new therapies to get you through this difficult diagnosis. Daniel Johnson Jr., love you, brother. Rosie, a.k.a. Great to Be Free in Jesus, I am welcoming Daniel Nehemiah to the DAB, so I hope he hears this. And finally, Larry, the old guy in Iowa, excuse me, I think I'm dealing with the same thing you are, some incredible pain from, I don't know if it's a disc in my back, but I'm praying that the Lord would stabilize that pain, would quiet those nerves, would actually move that disc back into place in the name of Jesus at your age. Let us know how you're doing, Larry. Thank you all. Love you.
Hello, Christine. This is Minita from Illinois. I heard your prayer request. I'll be praying for you. May the Lord be with you as you travel to meet your family, your sister, and your relatives out there. May the Lord guide you and protect you, and I pray I have your protection around you. It's a promise. The Lord says that he will send angels around those that fear his name, and you do that. You love him so much, sister. I'll be praying alongside with you. That God will just break the strongholds in the name of Jesus. It's nice to hear your voice, and I love it when you call in and when you pray. I love you, my sister. Big hug. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I think that's your favorite verse, and many of them, especially that one. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding protect you and guard your mind. And may we hear a good report. I love you. A big hug. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is John from Missouri again. I just wanted to pray for the 82-year-old man who is dealing with low back pain. It's very hard to deal with, and I understand. I have pretty severe back pain and neck pain constantly, and I do pray that you will get relief and be able to manage that so you can, live well. As you grow older, because I'm growing older also, so I pray for you. And I just ask again, I didn't hear prayers from my wife, Barbara. I know you guys are praying for her, but I haven't heard anybody pray for her. So if you don't mind, just keep really, we really need your prayers desperately. She's, she dealt with melanoma, and then she's a type 1 diabetic, and couple of very severe autoimmune disorders that she's dealing with, and now really the bad thing is the staph infection in her foot that we're really worried about, and we have faith, of course, but it's just we're growing weary, and one thing after another, and now as a result of the treatment, antibiotics have now caused severe kidney issues, which she never had before, and really close to kidney failure. And so now we're dealing with that. And so it's just one thing after another. And, she's trying to remain faithful, and I am too, but it's just a lot. And losing just not faith, but just need encouragement and prayer and just help to just keep going and know that God is going to take care of this, and I just pray that you all will keep her in mind.
Good morning, DAB family. It's Rich here from Exeter. Please could you pray for my job situation? I called in a few months ago trying to decide whether to go for a new job or stay where I was. I went for the new job and it hasn't worked out. And now I just feel a bit lost, a bit in free fall, to be honest, as I don't know what to do. It's all within the context of a former head injury and questions of competence and confidence. I've never really felt at home or particularly natural in the industry I'm in, and I've tried to escape it multiple times without success. And then you throw in the question of calling this wonderful but slightly unhelpful idea that God may have some wondrous thing that he's calling us to, and I know that he uses us in every situation. And I don't know, the idea that it doesn't matter what you do, but how you do it. But at the same time, after 20 years struggling in the same industry, I'd really like to do something that my heart is in. Trying to cling to that Jeremiah verse. Those who trust in the Lord. Blessed will be the one who trusts in the Lord and puts their confidence in him. But it's really hard. Please pray for me. Thanks.
Hi, this is Yvonne from Chicago. I'm calling in with a 911 prayer request. I am standing in the gap for my good friend, Kim, whose mom has a cancer that doctors have now said cannot be treated. It is a carcinoma that attacks a woman's reproductive system. She's had a hysterectomy and thought that everything was, that they got all the cancer during that time. But there's a reoccurrence, and now she did rounds of chemo and radiation, but now they're saying that it cannot be treated. She's experiencing extreme pain, fluid and pressures, and is just about to, whether maybe today or tomorrow, undergo a procedure to help drain that fluid. But we just believe in God for a miracle. Her name is Debbie, and I'm asking God for a miracle turnaround in her body. Even though doctors have given up, I'm just still believing that the Lord will come through and deliver her, and that there will be a miraculous result for this carcinoma. So I ask that the DAB family stand in agreement with me. Thank you.